We put in a phone call to Lee Perry, and I never quite know whether to introduce him as a great member of the Utah Highway Patrol and a former head of the Highway Patrol Association, a lieutenant, and then also a state representative. And all of the above are applicable. And Lee, I appreciate you joining us today here at KSL.
Hey, great to be with you, Doug.
Boy, this is the year, and let me just ask straight up. You're up there, you're in the committee meetings, you're in the preliminary meetings, you have your colleagues' ears up there, and what are the vibes? Is this finally going to pass this year, a primary seatbelt law for all of us in the state of Utah?
You know, I think it's going to take a lot of effort on a lot of people's parts, but I think it's possible to pass this year, yes.
We have talked about this for I don't know how long, and we've made progress over now many, many years, even decades, to the point where We got the primary law for those who are 18 years of age and younger. We've got a secondary law for those who are over the age of 19 and older. And, you know, I've made this simple argument for years, along with all of the other much, much better reasons to pass this law. If for no other reason, the simplification, just here in the great state of Utah, if your vehicle is equipped with seatbelts, you must be wearing them. I wish we could just, even for the pure sake of simplification, do that.
I don't disagree, and I look at this, and that's the one of the biggest arguments I have is that I keep hearing, well, it's my freedom of choice, it's my right. But the reality of life is we're talking about a privilege. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says I have a right to drive a car. There's nowhere that says I have a right to even be in a car and drive on the roads out there. Everything around motor vehicles traveling on our roadways is designated around the privilege of having a driver's license. We have to have insurance. We can't drive when we're impaired. We can only drive a certain speed limit. And if we choose to do things against those, there are ramifications. And that's really all this primary seatbelt bill is the same thing. It affects the privilege of driving a motor vehicle. And if you choose to drive, this is one of the obligations we feel like is necessary to be out there to say, if you're going to drive a car, you need to be responsible and wear a seatbelt.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more. And you look at the things that we have done, that we have made mandatory through statute, through law, for the public good, for the safety of pedestrians, for the safety of anybody out on the roads in whatever capacity, for the safety of those that are even off the roads. We have mandated that the safety devices, various things that we put into vehicles, be utilized. Something as simple as a turn signal to maintaining the brakes. And then you look at some of the other things, too, that are, again, deemed for the public good. We require now the catalytic converter and the emissions testing and everything else for the common good, for the quality of our air. And when I think of all those things, when I think of a seatbelt, just that simple device that's been in long before catalytic converters, long before many other things that we now have that are mandatory and we must maintain and keep up in our vehicles. I don't know why this one's still lagging.
And like I said, that's part of what's been frustrating to me in the 25 years I've been in law enforcement. To not see this pass and not have it out there doesn't make any sense to me. And like I said, I'm not out to save a person's necessarily save you from yourself. That's not necessarily what this is all about. It's more saving the rest of us from having to deal with that. You wouldn't get on an airplane with a pilot who was going to fly in turbulence without a seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want somebody driving on a roadway out there that might lose control of their car and injure me or my family.
You know, that's one aspect of this argument, and I still hear it occasionally, Lee, and I'm sure you do too. Well, you know, I have the right to not wear that. I have the right to die anywhere I want. I'm not hurting anybody else. Anybody who is thinking that, anybody who has uttered that, I'm sorry, with all due respect, you are clueless. Everything, all of the information shows how dangerous you are to the other passengers in your vehicle when you become the milling ball that bounces around and hurts and maims and perhaps even kills others while you're bouncing around the vehicle and they're in the car with you. And then the other things, too, the fact that in certain situations, not having a seatbelt restraint can have you shift in the vehicle where you lose control of the car and plow into somebody else. The old argument that you're only hurting yourself doesn't wash.
No. And financially, there's none of us that carry enough insurance to pay for all the costs associated with the fatal traffic crash. We just don't have it.
As far as the law enforcement generally in the state of Utah. Is it fair to say that maybe if not unanimous, it's pretty darn close among law enforcement officers in our state?
You know, I would think so or hope so. I know there's still a few law enforcement officers who don't wear their seatbelts. And I'll tell you what, shame on them. I can tell you in the Utah Highway Patrol, you get caught without a seatbelt on, it's a day off without pay. It's not tolerated because it's not acceptable. And it's not just us. UPS is a great company. You get caught more than a couple times without a seatbelt in UPS, you're going to get written up the first few times. You may lose your job if you don't wear a seatbelt when you work for that great company.
Yeah.
Those are people who are taking proactive steps, and I think that's commendable. But I think that we owe it to each other to not pass on the cost and the danger of people choosing not to wear a seatbelt when they're operating a vehicle under that privilege exemption out there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you are driving a KSL-owned vehicle and you're not wearing a seatbelt, first of all, there's a sign, and I'm not sure if it's in each and every vehicle, but it is clearly company policy, and I've been in our vehicles where right there on the dashboard there is a stick-on sign that said you are required to wear your seatbelts while in this vehicle. As far as those who are against this legislation, and in fairness to those folks, I don't mean to portray them like they're Simon Legree. Many of them that I have talked to have said, "Hey, Doug, I absolutely believe in wearing seatbelt. I wear seatbelts. If anybody gets in my car, I demand that they wear their seatbelt or the vehicle doesn't move." I just don't think we ought to pass legislation on this. I think I read it from you that, speaking as a highway patrol officer this time, that this year we might have 30 to 40 Utahns still walking around with us, still in our families, still in our congregations, still in our fraternal organizations, still in our schools, had we had this law. Why would the law make the difference?
Well, when you pass that kind of a legislation, it's been seen in every state that it's been passed in. The people who are currently kind of saying, do I, don't I, those people will suddenly go, you know what, there's, you know, depending on where you're at in the state, there's anywhere from 50% to 80% compliancy within our state. So those are the people who are choosing to do it every day. Those who are choosing, obviously, not to do it, if they said, you know what, I might get pulled over. It's the same thing as a speed limit. And you drive down the road and there's a speed limit, you say, well, do I go over the speed limit or don't I? And as you drive down the road, you say, oh, you know what, there's a white car coming at me. I better slow down because I don't want to get pulled over. Same thing applies to seatbelt. If you think that you're going to get pulled over for not having a seatbelt on, you're going to reach down and put it on. And that's why we're saying those number of lives would be saved, is because if you have a primary seatbelt law, just like Oregon, California, Washington, 33 other states in our country have it, are all sitting at 90, 95% compliance, and if you're wearing seatbelts, it's going to save lives. If you're wearing your seatbelt when you're in that serious high-speed vehicle rollover crash, you're more likely to stay in your car, you're more likely to stay alive. And just in my area alone this last year, I had 19 fatalities.
Wow.
Out of those 19, if I recall correctly, I believe 16 of them, one wasn't wearing a helmet, the other 15 weren't wearing seatbelts. I can go back and show you, out of those crashes, I would dare say more than half, and probably almost all of them, would have survived those rollover crashes had they been wearing seatbelts.
Yeah, I've told the story on the air, and I won't go in all the details, but I've had two friends who have died in rollover accidents, and both died. One person had a passenger in the car with her, hit black ice, rolled a Suburban, so it was a big vehicle, and the person that was wearing the seatbelt didn't have a scratch, not an injury. Hillary was killed because she was thrown from the vehicle and was not wearing a seatbelt. My friend Gordon, it was the same thing, coming up from Eureka to work at Kennecott, same thing. And, oh, my goodness, what I would give to have those two people with me today, and both would be with me today, barring something else, had they been wearing their seatbelts.
Well, and that's where, again, it doesn't just affect them. It obviously affected you, Doug,
yeah.
And it affected their family, and it affected lots of other people. So it doesn't just affect the one person. It affects many people.
Lee, I wish you good luck on this, and if there's anything that this radio program can do to help, let me know. We'll check in periodically to see how it's faring.
Well, hopefully those listeners out there that support this will let their legislature know that they do. I'm certain those who are against it will let their legislators know.
Boy.
So those who are in support, hopefully they'll make their voices heard as well.
You know, that is so accurate. It is really true. These voices, and they are clearly in the minority, by the way, according to every poll I have ever seen, they make their voices heard, and their legislators have listened to them, hopefully up until this year. Lee,
hopefully.
Thanks so much for what you do.
Thank you.
Lee Perry with us here at KSL News Radio, and as I mentioned, we could introduce him as Lieutenant Perry. We could introduce him as Representative Perry. We could introduce him as a former head of the Utah Highway Patrol Association. All would be correct, and I appreciate what he's working on this year again on Utah's Capitol Hill. Maybe, maybe, maybe this will be the year where we get this done for all of our sakes. It is 11:18 at KSL News Radio. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the caucus convention system. We've got more on the docket, too, so stay right here.
What is the will of the people today, and how much of a shift have we seen?
The most trusted and connected man in Utah on KSL News Radio.